Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Cassidy with the Florida Aviation Network, and we're here at the Sun Fun at the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum. And we're here today with my co-host, Rich Weber, and we're here with a great legend of ours, Billy Henderson. And he has a really good history. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, a little bit about of your history? Yes, some of your history that makes it so wonderful.
I'll give you a little tip on how this convention started. 1971, the Chamber of Commerce had an air show here in Lakeland, and the Thunderbirds came. And the president and founder of EAA and his wife flew down, and we met with them and discussed starting a new division of EAA, which is Antique and Classic, because we helped start the Florida Aviation Antique and Classic Association, and they thought that'd be nice if that was a part. And so I went up, and my wife and I, and helped them start Antique and Classic and helped them build a building, and volunteered out there for a number of years, and they'd come down and visit, and we didn't have a EAA chapter, so we started one here in Lakeland in 51 or 2, and then the chapter traveled around looking for places to have events, because we had a Southeastern Regional EAA Council looking for a convention site, and I went back and told them that we're just going to have to start our own. There isn't any of them suitable. So my family and all my friends got together, and we decided I told them we was going to call it Sun and Fun, and they said it's too frivolous. And I said, well, you got till the 30th of the month to give me an answer, because otherwise we're going to roll. And they never called me back, so we called it Sun and Fun Aviation Convention and started. My family and many friends ran it for 10 years as volunteers and even donated money. Quite interesting. The first year was $100 a piece if you want to have porta-johns here. Everything else was donated, and the first fly-in was so successful I had people arriving for 2 days after it was over, because it was a 3-day event, and I kept leaving work to take care of them. We had 37 air coops parked in a row on the north side, so the next year we said we got to go a whole week. So we went an entire week, and we had a double in size or more, and then a lot of other units jumped on board, and 7 chapters in Central Florida jumped in to help. And so it just kept going from that. And the third year, we said it's getting too big for where we're at, so we decided to lease land. And this part of the airport was a jungle and a swamp, and we talked the city and the mayor into giving us a good deal on it. And the city was most helpful in helping us clean the land and clear it up, and the mayor was our first female mayor, and we named the street after her, Peggy Brown. And Peggy ran the garden club in Lakeland, and she got the garden club to help landscape it after we cleared it. She got the city and county to help us on some of the clearing. I had a friend starting this land clearing company and wanted to test it out, and we let him clear the whole front of the airport out here because it was all pine trees. And so it's been a labor of love for an awful lot of people, and I was amazed. Even Dick Bach and some of the people showed up at the first fly-in, and we got to be great friends with a lot of people from all over the planet. I was amazed at the people that flew in and supported us. Thought it was great, so it kept going, and it was all volunteer for 10 years, and I finally had to borrow $10,000 on the house to keep the thing going and keep the land clear in. After 10 years, he begged me to quit my real job and go full-time so I could keep it together. And by then, I was about a 12 or 14-year volunteer at iSky, so they drafted me to go on the board of directors at iSky, so I served for a great number of years. And I retired after they got a thing rolling up there real good and helped them start the museum at iSky. My wife and I helped build the Antique and Classic building at iSky, and then we started home built and ran that for 10 years. And So it's been a great life, met a lot of wonderful people like Bob Hoover, who's here visiting, Scott Crossfield, Bob Morgan with Memphis, all come down as guests, and you find out people are all pretty much the same. And we never had problems with money because somebody would always slip me a check. Uh-huh. And so you find out people that are truly wealthy don't brag about it or show it off. Had some even donate a shower house and come all the way from Palm Beach and build it and bring me the keys. So I made a million friends, and that's what it's all about. The airplanes are just a common denominator. But, oh God, now I've got friends I hear from all over the world. In fact, I had a call from Bangkok, Thailand when my wife passed apologizing because they couldn't make it here for her flyaway party, she called it. She didn't want a funeral, she wanted a celebration. And I still hear from most of them off and on all year round. So I retired in 2000 and things changed a bit, but I'm back.
Good.
That's good. That's great.
Back. You are back. You're part of the, you still help out a lot here and keep things going, and I know that you get a lot of support and also provide support.
John Wright invited me back last year and this year and gave me a golf cart. They've done that at Oshkosh for 40 years because I knew all the family and helped them build a place, and they always take care of me up there. I'm a celebrity up there.
You can't go wrong with that, can you?
Oh, guys, and I can invite anybody up there as a guest, and they'll give them all their tickets and stuff. And they invited me back this year and begging me. Thought last year would be my last, and 40 was enough. The new chairman of the board called and asked me a million questions and wanted some advice and wrote a whole book on what he and I talked about and sent it to me and begging me to come up and said, I'll send you tickets and plane fare. And I said, no, I never asked for that. I'll be up. Just give me a campsite near the Red Barn, we call it, where you can go run, get groceries and breakfast every morning. And so they've got that all handled. They're going to memorialize it there at Oshkosh and do a missing lady flyby. She was a 39-year supporter up there. And we traveled all over America starting the EA conventions. And a lot of great memories and met jillions of wonderful people.
So it took a lot of hard work and dedication to make Sun and Fun possible, I've heard.
It isn't that. We started flying in Alabama and Kerrville, Texas and Long Beach, California and Arlington, Washington. All over the United States, Arizona, Copper State, we helped them get that rolling. So we got friends all over the planet. We even went to Australia and New Zealand and helped them get going. And I was asked, did I want to go flying in New Zealand? You'll love that. And they had a Chris Hines airplane. The guy threw me the keys and he said, can I go with you? And I jumped on the airplane and took off, flew all over Christchurch and Cook Mountain and came back and landed. And he said, congratulations. I said, why? He said, you just test flew the first home build ever completed in New Zealand.
Glad you. Thanks for the warning.
Thank you for not telling me that I got back at Christchurch. Oh, God, I made a lot of friends over there. So it's been a great life and still hear from a lot of folks. In fact, people even came from my wife's flyaway and took ashes back to New Zealand and to Australia. And they still scatter them some places in the world. And the Oshkosh found out we scattered them on Compass Hill at Oshkosh because I was there on the board and helped develop that. And it's a high point over the airport that we planned on Paul Poe Resnay having a final resting place. So we scattered Adair's ashes up there, and they found out now they want to do a missing woman flyby and do a special memorial service up there and put her on the memorial wall. She's a 39-year veteran up there.
That was nice. That's
great lady. She put up with me all those years. That's 60 years we had together. That was pretty great.
That's pretty good. Okay. Not many can say that, Billy.
It was great. Great lady.
Yep. She put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into all your work here building Sun and Fun.
It was never about money. It was a labor of love. I dumped tons of money, of my own money, in here helping to keep it going. And like I say, I mortgaged the house to clear some of the land.
And she even helped you clear the land, didn't
yes,
she?
She killed rattlesnakes and all hard-shell gophers across the county line because it was illegal to kill them, fill gopher holes. She's worked. She started GA Parking and handled that so she could train volunteers. Then she took over Homebuilt headquarters here and ran it and trained people to run that. And then she took over aircraft camping. And it's getting better, but the last time she ran it and she got short, we helped start Short Wing Piper and they took it over. And we were parking campers on the north side of the airport. We overflowed the whole campground. And she was great at what she did, and she had a jillion friends. So it's been quite interesting. So she was a volunteer all those years, and he never got paid. None of the volunteers did, of course. But we, our VIPs was always the volunteers. And the guest, I learned in Australia, purple is royalty. We made purple name badges and trained all our volunteers that if you see a purple name badge, you're a guest. So leave them alone and help them get around and find what they want to do. And so I made a jillion friends with a lot of wonderful people. And it's a labor of love. It's never about money. And money take care of itself if you don't worry about it too much.
Right.
Just do the right thing. Like Obie there, he was with the FAA when he started this foundation. Adair and I worked over there and helped him with that landscaping or building and everything. In fact, I went to Washington and talked to Admiral Busey and giving me the money to build that building. And he came down to dedicate it for us. So, a lot of great friends. Every FAA administrator since 75, I'd invite them down, I'd go up and visit them, and they'd come down and visit. So I met all of them. Jane Garvey was here when my wife passed, or before she passed, and Jane gave her an award for all her support of general aviation all these years, which I appreciated. Jane was quite a lady. And Obie was working for the government.
Excellent. Yes. Billy, what can you tell us about the Florida Air Museum? There's some history with this that you started.
Back in the early days, I formed a separate not-for-profit corporation, Sun and Fun Aviation Foundation. Picked some select supporters for the first board of directors and started raising money to build it. And we appointed Morton Lesser and Bob Allen, you may have heard of, and to find somebody to manage the development, and they hired my son. And he started this thing, and he's one, him and Eddie Hoffman, who was about number 52 EA member in the world, helped decorate the whole Florida History Wall over there and design it. And Pat Packard came down and helped us, who built some of the Warbird Wing at Oshkosh. And so we got it going, and then when I retired, they didn't think Arthur ought to manage it because he was didn't have a college degree or something, and Evergreen hired him, and he went out there and helped them build their new museum, but he didn't want to live in Oregon, so he came home. They begged him to stay there and run it. Now they got a world-class museum. This originally was named the International Sport Aviation Foundation, or ISAM, and the reason was because we were focusing on experimental home builds and original design aircraft. We even had airplanes donated from Europe and over in France. But they changed it to Florida Avenue Air Museum, I think. They figured the state would give them better support, but I knew all those folks and they had already planned to get donated $1 million. Because they liked international, they wanted to write all Florida on the bottom of our logo.
They would cut them off.
We'd already redesigned the logo, and then when I retired, they changed it to Florida Air Museum. And so then they dissolved that foundation, and those two guys, when Arthur left, they retired and went back to Carolina and Virginia.
And the rest is history.
Yes.
Yeah, so some of them's back visiting for the first time in 10 or 12 years to see if they're protecting the aircraft that we collected. A lot of them were prototypes or one of a kind.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's great to have someone with a huge history behind how all this got started. And, well, it's about time that we leave now. It was great talking to you.
Well, I appreciate John Lights inviting my family out as guests this year.
Yes.
Because they haven't been here in over 10 years because they didn't feel welcome.
And we'll be right back with more guests along our way. This has been Michelle Cassidy with the Florida Aviation Network, and is with my co-host Rich Weber, and we'll see you later.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.